And amen. Here's the word that the Lord spoke to me. He said, America, I've waited for the sounds of repentance, but your silence is deafening, as your response is natural, for you choose to play the harlot who hears not when her husband calls. You feign your love through plastic pieces of religious monuments and trinkets. You fool the world, but you cannot fool me. I see through your deceptive ways, dressed for church, over the skin of a whore, your silk and fine linen lie. But I see you, and I know your ways. Wake up, says your God, to the sound of weeping, mourning, and shame. Wake up, says your God, to the sounds of your fields smitten and destroyed because of your sin. America, I have waited for you to repent as a whole, but I have not even found half that are willing to turn towards me. Therefore, I will turn away from you, and you will know what Israel knew when my face no longer looked upon them. Very powerful word from the Lord. As always, in everything, take it to him in prayer. But it is the truth of the hour that we're living in a nation that has turned its back on a holy God. And we've pursued other gods, the gods of the fallen world, the gods of foreign worlds and fields, where idolatry is part of the normal day life. And so, again, a very sharp and powerful rebuke and word of caution from the Father. But it is the hour that we're living in a nation that doesn't want to repent, and a people who feel that they have it all together, and that we are the city that sits upon a hill, and who could knock us off of this hill. But as I've told you in the past, and you know the old adage, there's always a bigger dog on the other side of the porch, and there's always somebody that can take you from your position of pride. The title of this message is called The Pagan States of America. The Pagan States of America. Probably not one of the sermons you would hear from your local bubblegum church or cotton candy preacher. But nonetheless, it is a word the Lord spoke to me concerning the hour that we're living in. And so the pagan states of America. Now, let me give you a definition by the way of Webster so that you can understand in depth of what paganism and being a pagan is. It's to follow after many gods. To follow after many gods like the Romans did. Sometimes when we look at paganism, we think of witchcraft, and it's not just witchcraft and Satanism itself. It's having the desire for multiple gods, putting gods before Jehovah, putting things before Jehovah, putting careers and work and material things before him. And so it is a form of multiple gods. It also means having little or no religion. Little or no religion. If you remember on some of the messages that I've preached in the past, there's an increase of people called nuns in America, N-O-N-E. They're none, none religion. They have no affiliation with religion. That is paganism. And so paganism is in the rise here in America. It's also a person who delights in sensual pleasures, the material goods. That is the definition of pagan. And so in America, we have a pursuit of these things that is off the scales and off the charts because we are a nation of consumerism and we are a nation of materialism. Again, I'm not a person who's against materials and things. I'm just against them having you. Let me try that one more time. I'm not against you possessing them. I'm against them possessing you. If somebody comes up and says, Pastor, you like my new boat? Yeah, I love your new boat from Monday to Saturday. But the problem is you use that new boat on Saturday and Sunday. Is anybody here today? Or your home or whatever you have, and it keeps you from the things of God, that can turn out to be paganism. And in many cases, it is. And for the biblical definition of paganism, for your homework, I want you to go to Leviticus chapter 18 and read what God says about paganism. Leviticus chapter 18 and find out what God says about paganism. And then you decide whether that is where our nation is. So the message today is called the Pagan States of America. And I want you to go to Jeremiah chapter 12. Jeremiah chapter 12. I know that's a shock again to many. But Jeremiah chapter 12 and Jeremiah chapter 13. I'm going to preach two chapters to you today. Is that all right? Since some of y'all miss a couple Wednesdays, you got to make up for it today. Don't you remember that in school? You had to do extra work. Somebody says this feels more like detention. No, I just want you to get this in your spirit. No, he took me to Jeremiah chapter 12 and Jeremiah chapter 13. So that's where we're going to go today on the pagan states. Jeremiah chapter 12, I want you to look in verse 4. And it says, how long shall the land mourn and the herbs of the field wither for the wickedness of them that dwell in? The beasts are consumed and the birds, because they said, he shall not see our last end. So the answer of why is found in the question, how long is the land going to mourn? Why? Because of the burden of the sin. Because of the unrighteousness of a nation that has turned into pagan land and paganism and witchcraft. And has forgotten God and the covenant and has rejected the word of the Lord. And people will say, well, I don't understand. I see churches and steeples everywhere. I see people in churches and people are dressed up. You go to lunch and everybody's wearing a suit and a tie and they look their Sunday best. And it looks as though America has gone back to God. It seems like that we are a Christian nation. But the reality is not found in how many people are in the chairs or how many people have parked a car outside. It is the condition of the heart of the people and the condition of the lifestyle outside of the church that matters, because God does not look on the outer appearance of a person, but he looks at the inner ponderings of a heart and a mind. That's why you can fool some people some of the time, but you'll never fool God. And so we live in a society that soothes its conscience by doing what it wants to do Monday through Saturday. And then we pull into a church and we plop in a chair and we give a little bit of a tip to God. And we say we did our time and we've made our amends with God and we made an appeasement with God. When reality, we're living like the devil all through the week and coming in and singing like a saint on Sunday. And God says, I know the difference. And I'm not just speaking of the person sitting in the pew. I'm also speaking of the preacher that stands behind the pulpit with a microphone in one hand and a Bible in another and declares and decrees that he is God's authority and the voice of the hour. When that person is living in sin, that person has multiple relationships outside of the covenant of his wife and marriage and living in deplorable conditions with God. And so what we have in our United States of America is a cabal of paganism that begins in the house of God, and the people of God go back into society and they show the heathen how they live like they live, and there becomes no difference between the two, and you cannot pick out a Christian between a pagan and the person who says he goes to church. It's the truth. Because when we go into our marketplaces and we go into our world, you can see no difference. The only time you see any type of difference is a t-shirt or a bumper sticker. Come on, somebody, y'all help me today. Because it is the reality of where we are. And I'm not speaking to the totality of the church. I'm speaking for many, many within the body that act this way. And so God says in Jeremiah chapter 4, how long will the land mourn? This is Jeremiah. He's wondering. He's trying to understand. And it says, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein, the beasts are consumed and the birds, because they said, he shall not see our last end. In other words, they say to God, God, you can't see me. You can't see what I do because I have the cloak of righteousness over me. I have the cloak of Christianity and I have the cloak of religion. You can't see what I do. The reality is that God sees everything. Man is the one that's deceived and man is the one that is blind. And this is why our nation has the trouble that it has. Verse 5. As the conversation begins to churn, the Lord speaks and says, thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee. Then how canst thou contend with the horses? And if the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how will thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? As I've preached this message before concerning this chapter and these verses, it brings us to the revelation and the understanding that if you can't deal with the things that are going on in this hour, you're not going to be ready for what is coming around the corner. If you can't even deal with the stresses of life and the things that are happening, you're not going to be ready for what's going to take place. And he's telling Jeremiah that things are going to increase and they're going to accelerate and there's going to be greater trouble and greater problems. I remember as I began to preach this message of the last days, people would get all snooty and get all mad and say, oh man, we're doing great and life is just awesome in America and we're going to have an election and we're going to have all these different changes. We're going to have the greatest time we've ever had. And prophets were getting up and they were prophelying, saying that we are going to bring righteousness back to America. And I continued to go against the headway and go against the stream and preach and preach and preach and declare what the word of the Lord was telling of the acceleration and the increase of the craziness. And now we're here. And I'm warning America again and those that will listen to me that there's coming a greater increase of the violence and the tragedies and the calamities and the crisis and the crime and the degradation in our nation because of our sin. But those of us that walk in righteousness and holiness, it is not a time to shrink back. It is a time to say, you know what? We were strong during the time of the footmen. We're going to be strong during the time of the horsemen. We were strong during the time when people said, oh, this is peace and prosperity in our time. We're going to be stronger when we watch this thing begin to unfold into craziness of the last days. I don't know about you, and I know people sometimes they get weary, but I'm ready for what is coming. I'm ready in the sense of my heart for the harvest that is coming, for those to whom we're going to have the opportunity to witness to those to whom we're going to preach the gospel to those that we're going to have peace and a steady hand and a steady heart and say, God is the God in the answer. He is the life. He is the ability. He is our hopes. He is our dreams. He is our provision. Hallelujah. Because right now, many in the church, they're callous to what's happening and not ready for the last days. Verse 6, for even thy brethren in the house of thy father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee. Yea, they have called a multitude after thee. Believe them not, though they speak fair words unto thee. Here it is, a warning of the last days of those that will betray you, those that will come against you in the house of God, those that will say evil things against you in the house of God, those that will come against your life because of what you believe. How many of y'all have people in your family that don't always agree with you, especially things of the last days in the Bible? There's a conflict between folks today in this hour. There's a conflict in the politics of the church. There's a conflict in the politics of our nation. But God said there's going to come a time that there would be conflict in the body in a greater form and fashion to where there would be division among family conflicts and people would not love you for the stance that you take. You know, I know you find this amazing, but not everybody loves me. Not everybody loves you either. Come on, somebody. I'm just warming up. This is only my introduction. But this is the reality of the paganism in our country to where we're not finding the brotherhood, the koinonia within the house. There was a time when you could go into the house of God and you could feel safe. You could feel the family. You could feel the unity and the love. There was a time when you could go in and share your heart with folks without your folks sharing your heart. Let me try that again. There was a time when you can confide in the preacher and talk to the preacher and tell him what's going on in your life and tell him what's happening and being counseled without it being leaked out and spewed across everybody's laptop and told through preaching or what have you. We've lost that unity and that family in the house of God. Not all churches, but many houses of God have lost that. But there's coming even a greater betrayal in the last days. In verse 7, I have forsaken my house. I've left my heritage. I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of her enemies. We'll stop here a minute and preach. He says, I've left my heritage. This is the hardest thing for the American Christian mindset to wrap itself around, to understand that God can depart from a people, that God could depart from a nation, that God can depart from a church, that God can depart from a pastor or a person of leadership. God can, and he does have the ability to depart, not for eternity's sake, but for the aspect of bringing that person into probation, for bringing that person into a place where they seek his face as a warning that I will shake everything that possibly could be shaken until that which remains is me. And I believe that is happening right now in the body of Christ. You're watching as people are falling away from the faith. I've mentioned some famous names. I don't know why they're famous, but I guess that's the way Christians are. People that have notoriety in the body of Christ standing up and renouncing their faith, saying they no longer believe like they used to believe. They no longer believe in the Bible. They no longer believe in the justice of God and the judgment of God. It's an amazing thing to me how that you can say that you are born again, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and then you're going to deny everything before man. Jesus said, if you deny me before man, I will deny you before the Father. Is anybody here today? Just recently, some Hillsong writer, I have the article before me, but I'm not going to get a paper cut looking for it. It's not worth it. But he renounced his faith. He told the world, I'm losing my faith. I'm getting away from Christianity. I don't believe. And nobody can answer this, and nobody's speaking to that. He must have never heard of United Church. Because everything he began to say that no one's talking about, I was screaming at the computer. You should have seen, I was screaming. I said, I'm preaching that. We're talking about that. We're saying something about that. But it's a deception of the hour. It's the paganism of Christianity today. It's the paganism of our churches. It's the paganism that's inside of our music today in our house, in the houses of God. And so this gentleman, he renounces his faith, and then he turns face, the about face, and he comes back and says, no, I'm not really meaning I'm leaving. I'm just losing it. Well, dude, either you lost it or you're leaving it. Which one is it? And see, this is what's happening in this nation. And it's not just happening with those who are professional, highly paid Christian entertainers. It's happening with people daily, those that are watching me now and those that are listening by radio and different aspects of the ministry here. There are people who've left the church because they're tired of the craziness. They're tired of all the political things that goes on, and they can't find real, and they can't find substance, and they can't find transparency. I want to know the real Jesus. I want to know the real Savior. I want to know the real Holy Ghost. I want to experience the real church. I want to experience the real baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. I want to experience God in this day. Amen. And the realness of them in a real church. That's what I love about Ignited Church, because it's real. It's a real church where real people have real problems. We're not perfect. We're just getting perfect. Come on, I said, we're not perfect. We're just getting perfect. We're standing before a perfect God, and we're saying, God, help us. Lead us and guide us and direct us. I fall on your mercy, O God. I fall upon your dependency. God, I need you. I need him more and more every single day. So paganism is infecting the church as these super slugs, as I call them, they begin to fall. They're nothing more than shooting stars. Shooting stars who preach a false theology through singing. And because the people do not get a proper dose of Holy Ghost truth through the Word of God, they live their lives as though it's a Christian song. And it's unscriptural in many of them. You say, do you listen to Christian music? No, I don't. Very rare do I listen to a Christian artist. Most of the time it's because of the words that they say are not even biblical. And the other aspect is a couple months down the road after you buy the CD, they turn out to be a homosexual or a lesbianism. Is anybody still here today? You know that's the truth, because we have promoted these people and made them into rock stars, just like our preachers. And I want you to know something. I'm no rock star. I may look like one, but I'm not a rock star. Is anybody here today? I still got them pictures, them 70s pictures. I just may use them. Come on, somebody. She looked like Diana Ross. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you got to go to live stream. See, that's bait for live stream. People are like, what's he talking about? Go to live stream. You'll hear all about it. Watch this now. So there's going to be portrayal, paganism within the house of God. He said, I've left my heritage. Verse 7, I've given my dearly beloved of my soul unto the hands of her enemies. In other words, God says, you know what? If you want to be a pagan, go ahead and be a pagan. If you want to be a heathen, go ahead and be a heathen. If you want to try to have one foot in the world and do what the world does and then put one foot in the church and try to be holy, go ahead and do it. But I'll be 10,000 miles away from you, because I am who I am and my word declares who I am. And if you don't want to know who I am, then don't read my word, then don't find me, don't pursue me, don't run after me. But if you do want to know me, if you do want to experience me, if you do want to know truth, pursue me with all of your heart and I will be found of you. But see, we have a gospel today that makes it easy. It's a greasy type of grace where we sloppy agape and just show up into the house of God. And we never have any constraints. We never have any discipleship. We're never taught how to do the right thing. We just live openly and freely like we want to. And what happens with that is that we end up ending up walking like the world does, because we have no discipleship. I know what I'm talking about. Been doing this for nearly 25 years. And you see people who start out strong. They start out faithful in church and they seem loyal. Then all of a sudden something in life comes, whether it's a tragedy or a promotion. Watch out now. Tragedy doesn't always take somebody away from God, but sometimes promotion will take people away from God. People get successful. They get a job. They get a raise. They get married. They get a home. They get stuff. And the next thing you know, they become paganized by it, and they no longer pursue God. It amazes me, going back to the illustration of these that are so-called superstars in the Christian world. They get blessed. They get promoted. They get all these things and all these entrapments. And next thing you know, they forget God. And when they cut rope with God, when they cut it and they leave him, what happens? There are multiplied thousands who are affected by them, if not millions. And it absolutely infuriates me as a pastor, as a shepherd, as a father in the faith, when I look and I see these people who worship these guys, they're mesmerized by them, and then they lose their faith. And then all of a sudden you start hearing people say, well, forget it, I'm not going to serve God anymore. I know what happened to me when I was a young man, when one of our favorite pastors, he had left the ministry for some private issues in his life. Well, there were divorce. And because he left, I left the church. I remember that being impacted very deeply in my heart. And I said, well, there'll never be another one like him, so I might as well just forget about it. How many of y'all ever been in that situation? That is the devil that is speaking. But God said, I'm going to deal with the church. I'm going to deal with it because it was my inheritance. It was my heritage, and it turned its back on me and it left me. So I will deal with it in my own way. Watch verse 8. Mine heritage is unto me as a lion in the forest. It crieth out against me, therefore have I hated it. Not in hatred as you would think in the world, but he says in hatred as far as disavowing and moving away from. In other words, I'm not going to pay attention to my heritage. I'm not going to do what I did before, because whatsoever a man sows, he's going to reap. And I believe we're watching this take place in our churches today in this nation as God begins to loosen his hands from off of us, to where we're watching calamity and crisis in a greater way. And I will get to some statistics for you in just a minute to prove that. Verse 9, my heritage unto me is a speckled bird. Everybody say speckled bird. It's a speckled bird. In other words, it's a bird of many colors. It was used to understand what they would do in the pagan heathen lands. They would mix their worship together. They would mix their worship of Jehovah with their worship of Baal. They would worship many gods and mingle it together just enough to seem as though they're appeasing God. But in case they're not doing it the right way, or maybe Jehovah's off that day, or maybe Jehovah don't have his power as they thought, they'd go ahead and appease Baal. And though that sounds crazy in our mind, and we would think that's not the case of us in the church today, but for the commercial church, the heathen church, the pagan church, it is so. Because we take things and we put them over God. We take money and we put it over God. We take materials and we put it over God. We put our families over God. We put our marriages over God. We put many, many things over God. And we mingle and we mix our Christianity, even with politics in America, and it causes this speckled bird. The speckled bird of paganism is alive and well in America. It's in our churches and doctrines, and most folks do not study the Bible to even know they're being lied to by their pastors, by their favorite preacher that's up on television who has multiplied millions of followers. And because they see numbers and because they see things that glitter, they think that they're hearing from God and that they're speaking on the behalf of God. Honey, it's not just the words that come out of the mouth of a man. It is what's spoken in the Word of God. And if those words don't confirm what is in the Word of God, then that person is not preaching the truth. And so we have this confusion in America because we're not Bereans today. I'm just going to take my time. Is that all right? You got anywhere to go? It's only, what time is that? I mean, it's just early. Cracker Barrel, you're going to wait anyways if you go to Cracker Barrel. Is anybody here? The Waffle House. Help that man right there, Father. I know who to bring my Waffle House coupons to. Are you here today? I'm lighting it up. I want you to feel a little bit of comfort as we get on the rocky road again. But it's the understanding of where we are as a people. It's the understanding that the paganism has invaded our country and invaded our churches, and people are not like the Bereans. They don't study anymore. People don't get into the Bible. They don't read anymore. They don't spend time with listening to what the preacher has to say and going back and verifying what the Word of God has to say. And they look at these guys and they follow them because of what they see. I'm telling you, some of the greatest preachers on the planet are not on television. Some of the greatest preachers in the world today are in Africa and foreign countries and in Cuba and China and the underground church. Some of the greatest leaders of the true body of Christ are not on TV. But we are enamored by what we see on television. We're enamored by big. We drive by big churches and we say, man, that must be a big God. Let me tell you something. He's a big God, whether he's in the Golden Dome down the road or someplace, some type of place, some facility that costs multiplied millions of dollars, or in an open field in Africa where an evangelist is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ with signs and wonders and miracles taking place. God is bigger in that place. But we've missed it. We've become paganized. Paganized because we're enamored by materialism and seeing all the lights and the cameras and the stuff that folks had. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with the blessings of God and getting the message out there. But what message are we getting to the nations of the earth? You see, the message must match the hour. Let me try that again. The message must match the hour if it is to be prophetic. If somebody is speaking prophetic from any pulpit, any media platform, it must match the hour that we're living in, or it is just nice teaching, or it's just good preaching, or it's just something to make you feel good. Jesus was on time. Jesus was always on time because he is time. He is the absolute time of eternity. He's absolutely now. He is the God of the now. And so here it is in Jeremiah chapter 12, as I preach on the pagan states of America, he says, mine heritage is unto me. What did he say? Unto me, not always unto you. We don't always know what looks right. I'm about to preach. We don't know what looks right because we do not have our discernment sharpened. We don't know what looks right because we don't read the Bible. We don't know what looks right because we don't discern, and we don't challenge these things that are preached to us and written to us in books and sung to us in songs. We just take it as entertainment. We take it as, oh, this is good for me, and this person has all kinds of promotions and people who give them accolades and applauses, and we look at those things and we say, this must be God. But we do not discern. But he said, it is unto me as a speckled bird. Do you know the speckled bird doesn't know it has speckles? Let me try that again. The speckled bird doesn't realize it has speckles. When you are deceived, you don't know you're deceived until you come face to face with truth. This is why so many people are changed by this ministry and the media ministry, is because they don't know that they are deceived. And then somebody gives them a CD, or someone gives them the radio channel to go to. And then they begin to hear that word, and it begins to change them, not by the power of a preacher and not by the power of manipulation, but by the power of the Holy Ghost and truth. And it confronts you. And then you must make a decision. Do I pursue truth or do I stay in deception? That's up to you. I can't stand a thief and a liar. That's why I don't get around politics. Is anybody here today? And so because of deception in our country, which paganism brings you deception, it dulls you. Because you can't understand and recognize and realize what's being preached to you, because you're half asleep, you're laid out in the mind, you're numb in the mind because of all the consumerism you had Monday through Saturday, including Christian consumerism, which is probably the worst when it's been baptized in paganism. And then someone stands up, begins to preach the message, the old message of the gospel. And they look at you like a dog hearing a weird sound, and they can't kind of figure out where this is coming from when this has been preached for centuries. I'm not preaching anything new. I'm not the latest kid on the block. This has been preached by the Ancient of Days himself, Jesus Christ. This has been preached by the prophets and Jeremiah and Hosea and Isaiah and the others. This has been preached throughout the ages, of returning back to God, of getting to a place of holiness and righteousness and turning away from heathenism and paganism. It just happens to be intensifying here in the United States because of the lateness of the hour. But church folks don't have any discernment. He said, it's a speckled bird unto me. I can see it, but you can't. It amazes me about deception. When you're deceived, you just can't see things. I said, when you're deceived, you just can't see things. You just can't see clearly. You just don't understand it because you're in that cocoon of deception. You're in that cocoon of occult and false teaching. And you need some preacher to come around with a hammer called the Word of God and crack that thing open. Can somebody say amen? Are you in verse 9? I still got another chapter to go. Aren't you glad I didn't start at verse 1? He said, my heritage unto me as a speckled bird. The birds round about are against her. Come you assemble all the beasts of the field and come to devour. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden down my portion under their feet, and they have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. Who did that? The preachers, pastors and leaders, demonized deacons. Is anybody here? And the elders and those that are in leadership standing up before the people and preaching pablum and preaching political rhetoric and preaching sides and preaching even constitutional things and preaching things about a specific nation instead of speaking kingdom. You see, my allegiance is to God and to the kingdom of God. Come on, somebody. My allegiance is to God Almighty, Jehovah, Yahweh. My allegiance is to Jesus Christ, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And at that name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. But in the pagan states of America, we have a mantra, even in the body of Christ, that puts the nation first before kingdom, and that is wrong. Let me try that again. We had a nation of paganism in the church to where we put the nation before the kingdom. And because we do that, we become mystified. We become under a spell, a doctrine of devils and a doctrine of humanity and humanism, to where we call ourselves Christian by name, but our heart is far from God because we've left that first love. We left that allegiance to our God. And that is the truth. And then we follow the mantra over the abyss. We follow the campaign. We follow the marching orders of an imperialistic nation and a people that are hell-bent on destroying others through war and carnage. And we say it's in the name of God and it's a just cause, when we don't take a minute and we don't stop and stand back and say, what does God say about it? Blessed are the peacemaker. I know what I'm talking about. We're a nation that's hell-bent on changing nations all around the world, not to fit the Judeo-Christian theology of a God called Jehovah, one God, and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No, we are taking over nations for the fact of democracy and capitalism, and not for the kingdom. I'm trying to be polite to you, because on verse 10 here, I really want to preach. And many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They trodden it down. In other words, they didn't take care of my word. They didn't take care of the vineyard. When thieves came in and wolves came in and all kinds of thorns and thistles and weeds came in, they didn't do their part in gardening. It's a shame that a pastor doesn't become a father in the faith and stand up before his people and preach truth, even when they don't like it. It's a shame, because we've lost fathers in the nation, in America. We've lost fathers. We've lost mothers in the house of God that would train the younger ones how to live and how to love and how to learn the things of God. No, we teach them how to buy a book and how to buy a CD. We teach them all these other aspects of Christianity that are no more than entertainment, instead of you taking the Bible and studying for yourself. I know that's the truth. Verse 11, watch this. They are made it desolate. They've made it desolate. Being desolate, it mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate because no man giveth or layeth it to heart. He said, listen, here's the deal. It's because of your pastors. It's because of your leaders. I just recently read in a secular article, a secular website, that said the problem is not gun control, the problem is morality, and the problem is behind the pulpit. A secular, and I've been preaching that, I've been hollering that, that's what a secular reporter had to report. The issue is with morality, and the issue is with the pulpit and not politics. Everything rises and falls on leadership. That's funny. Jeremiah had said this. This was penned thousands of years ago. I'm reading to you today as though it is a headlines in newspapers. And God, by his Holy Spirit, told Jeremiah, this is the problem with Israel. This is the problem with Judah. And I'm standing here today in 2019 telling you it is the same problem. It is our pastors. It is our leadership. So next time you go by and you see some pantywaist type of preacher, and you know he's preaching snowflake, nothing but junk, just go by and say, thank you, Pastor Pagan. Don't do that. But I'm just maybe you should do that. Maybe that would bring some conviction. Hey, Pastor Pagan, how you doing? Come on, somebody. I think that's hilarious. I'm thinking about trying it. Pastor Pagan. You say,
You say, is everything in the world that's going on the fault of the church? I'm not telling you everything of the issues of life and the ills of life is the fault of the church, but it does play a huge part when we don't teach our children righteousness anymore, when we don't teach them holiness, we don't teach them the right things of morality. Come on, we're not even teaching them how to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. Well, that's just a Southern thing. No, I think that's a biblical thing. No, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. Hold the door. Come on, somebody. Get up out of your seat and let an elder sit down. See, these are little common things. These are little foxes that spoil the vine. And this is what's happened to our nation, is that we totally have gone pagan. We've allowed our children to run wild and run the house and run everything instead of being the parent and being the mother and being the father. And the same thing with Pastor Pagan. He doesn't stand up in the pulpit and say, honey, adultery's wrong. Close your legs. Get yourself. Is anybody here today? Get yourself some clothing on. Get yourself a righteous lifestyle. Come on, somebody. Get married if you burn that bad. I'm talking to the man as well. I'm talking to society. We don't teach these things. We don't teach life and love and peace. We teach war. And believe me, I'm not a pacifist. I'm not a pacifist at all. I believe in being strong. I believe in taking care of business. I believe that that shepherd's rod has two sides to it, a hook and a point to it. Hook that sheep and bring it in and stab that wolf and get him out of the way. I'm for it. I understand the principle of being a father and a protector and a provider, but we've lost the biblical understanding of what we're supposed to do as Christians because we become paganized. And then we allow politicians and people in high places to show us what godliness is in their view. And nobody stands up and tells them they're wrong. Nobody challenges them and says, show me that in the Bible. Show me in the Word where you can get away with this. Show me in the Word that you have the right to act that way. And we've give passes. Come on, church. We've given passes to our preachers for way too long. Because they can preach the paint off the wall, they can write books, and they can do all these different things. We give them passes because they have multiplied thousands of people, two or three services. And they give all kinds of money to the community, and they do all kinds of charitable things. And we give them passes knowing that they're living like whores. Wish I had somebody. Just somebody help me. We turn this world upside down. Just somebody that would believe the word of the Lord. Somebody that would say, listen, we are living in a pagan nation and we must shine the light of truth. We must live it every single day, not just Wednesday Bible study and Sunday. I'm talking about every single day. When you go to the water cooler, when you go to work and people talking all kinds of junk, you stand up and say, this is what the Bible says. This is how I live. Oh, I don't want to offend nobody. It's about time you start offending somebody. It's time you about tell them the truth and tell them this nation is going to hell in a handbasket and you're living in a pagan nation. You have pagan leadership. Do you think for 1 minute Washington is going to turn this nation towards God? It is not within them. They don't have the ability. There is nothing righteous within them. There's no way that we can legally and legislatively turn things back to God. God's not looking for laws of men. He's looking for the heart of man. He's looking for the heart of church. He's looking for the heart of a Christian that turns itself towards God and say, God, forgive me what I've done. Forgive me for my heathenism. Forgive me of my paganism. Forgive me for my materialism, the things that I've done to put you above, put that person and that thing above you. Forgive me, God. You see, the Church of Jesus Christ, before we ever see any type of harvest and revival, I promise you and I prophesy to you, you will see the altars full in remnant churches and real churches in their homes as well. People crying out to God saying, God, forgive me for putting everything above you. I'm going to tell you something. Going to church is not enough. Going to church is not enough. Paying your little bit of dues is not enough. You need to have a total lifestyle of Christianity. You need to live this thing real. You need to be pursuant of God, to be passionate towards God and say, God, get rid of these things out of my life that hinder my relationship with you. You say, how do you know what those things are? You ask God. I double dare you to ask God. I double dare you to go ask God and say, God, what are the things that are hindering me, that are keeping me from my relationship with you? And if you'll be honest like David was before God, God will show you, because God stripped David. God brought David to the bare minimum and showed David what his sin was. You see, but we won't do that in America. We won't do that because we're looking for a preacher to show up with slick hair, shiny shoes, and a new Bible to bring revival. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for the quartet to pull up. Come on, help me now. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for the singing group to get us all excited about Jesus. Hey, woo! And nobody changes. Granny throws her back out. Lulu throws her wig. Come on, somebody. Uncle Joe throws his hairpiece out, and everybody gets all sweaty, and the altars are full because they're crying about missing Granny. Oh, I'm preaching better than y'all helping me in this monastery, but I'm telling you, it is the truth, and we have no real change. And we go back out into the streets, and we still have racism. We still don't want to hang out with the black folk. We still don't want to hang out with the white folk. We still don't want to hang out with the zebras. We still don't want to hang out with the EBT people. We don't want to hang out with those that live in the housing. We don't want to hang out with those that live in trailers. We don't want to hang out with those that live in gated communities. And we're segregated in our nation because of paganism. Our heart is far from God. And it's the truth. It is the truth. The most segregated place in America is a church on Sunday morning. And it's the truth. We don't want it. We don't want the true repentance. We don't want to come before God and say, God, bend me. God, break my heart. God, look at me and shine your light of truth upon me and show me in the inner part where I am dirty. Show me where I'm crooked. Show me where I have cracks. Show me where I splinter. Show me, Father God, where your love must be there. That's true repentance. That's true revival. All this other stuff you see on television and you hear in a newspaper, come to our revival, come to our tent meeting, come to our camp meeting, come to our whatever. Everybody wants you to come. It's like a snake oil salesman. Everybody just come. Let's get underneath the magic tent. I'm not talking about every one of them, so don't be offended. There are some that do produce some good things, but you know what I mean by majority. It is nothing but a Christian entrapment. It's nothing more than entertainment. It's nothing more than a yearly cycle of insanity. Well, I feel good about that. I don't want to do something with insanity. I want to do something with results. I want to see thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Because what we're doing in America is not working. What we're doing in the churches is not working. Our little puppet shows and our little round and round we go is not working in America. Our children are bleeding out. Our children are leaving God by the multiplied millions. We're losing a generation of people. And the church is singing Kumbaya, my Lord, on the Titanic. And hoping for 2020. You better hope we even get out of 19. You better hope we even get out of 19 without some type of tremendous calamity to our nation. I got to go because the clock says so. Watch this. Y'all still here? If I made you mad, then hang on. I'm working on it. I'm just going to get you real mad. I got your offering already. If you even gave. Watch this. Boy, he's mean. No, I'm not mean. I just like to be a truthful person. The Holy Spirit has called us to be truth seekers and truth presenters. And the truth hurts. It offends folks. It makes people mad. And you know what? If the truth is making you mad, then you are the candidate for change. You are the one the Lord speaks to. If you're getting hot under the collar and it's bothering you and say, man, I can't wait till this guy shuts up and I can get out of here, then it is you God is speaking to. You crooked old thing, you. Watch this now, verse 12. Or crooked young thing, however you feel this morning. The spoilers have come upon all high places through the wilderness. How'd they get there? Through the wilderness. How did the spoilers get there? Through the wilderness. How did they get there? Through your door. Your wilderness. You created a wilderness, so the devil came in. You were lazy, so the devil came in. You won't tithe, you won't give, you won't do what you're supposed to do, so the devil comes in.
Do you recognize and realize if you play church and you act like you serve God, you don't do the principles according to the word of God, then those things which you try to do in the name of God will come out in the negative towards you. In other words, God doesn't bless mess. I'm going to read something to you in a minute. I'm going to give you an answer to why we're in a lot of problems. If I got time. I got time. I'm just going to do it. We're just going to preach. First lady said, do it. Watch this, verse 13. You know I do everything she says. And they, while she's in the room, and they have sown wheat, but shall reap what? Thorns. What are we reaping today in America? Thorns. Don't give me this junk about making things awesome and we're just the best economy we've ever seen and all these crazy things. We're reaping thorns. We're reaping thorns. Some people got it well. Some people got it good. Some people are living on the high life. I got that, but not everybody is. Some of us folks are hanging by a thread. Can I have an amen, somebody? Some of y'all family members you know are holding on by a thread. One disaster, one lost paycheck, a wreck can ruin them. It'll mess them up. That's all it is, one paycheck away from disaster, homelessness. And that's in America by the multiplied millions. Don't tell me everything's fine. Let me tell you who where it's fine. It's fine in the high lofty places of corporations. But even they are in trouble as you're watching. And I know that personally as well. Watch this. They have sown wheat, but they shall reap thorns. They have put themselves to pain, but they shall not profit. They shall be ashamed of your revenues because of the fierce anger of the Lord. I'm telling you, and I've been prophesying this and preaching it and telling you, and you've watched it go up and down in a roller coaster, and that's just the way prophecy sometimes is. But we are headed to an economic collapse and holocaust in America. You better stay prepared. You better get ready. You better be a person of faith. You better put away the foolishness of materialism. Do what God tells you to do and do it the biblical way and be led by the Holy Spirit. Because it is coming. You say, when is it coming? It'll come when it gets here. It'll come when it gets here. It will come when it gets here. And it's being announced as even as we speak. The nations are crying out, all the signals. They're as loud as can be telling us that we are in dangerous waters. I said from this pulpit many times that the world was in a recession. We're watching it, and America is on the precipice of a recession if we're not already in one. You have to remember about the manipulations of numbers. Some of the numbers are held back for longer periods of time to allow consumerism to cycle through and more money. And that's why you're going to see more deception between now and Christmas in order for people to spend, spend, spend. You watch. But you tell Americans this, and they're like, I don't believe that. I don't think that's possible. I don't know about that. And then it's going to happen again. And I will stand right here in January, and I will begin to tell you the statistics of numbers of how many people went into debt and how much they went into debt over Christmas. Did it last year. Watch this. There's coming an economic collapse. There's no doubt about it. We are thinking that we have wheat, but we have thorns. Go to chapter 13. Let me run a few scriptures through you and to you, and I want to read you some information just to verify. You got about another 2 hours? Good. Watch this. Verse. Let's begin in verse 9. Thus saith the Lord, after this manner I will mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. I told Jeremiah to go and take the undergarment, take it down to the Euphrates. Leave it there many days, and when he brought it back up, this was the word that the Lord spoke to him. He said, it has been marred. What has been marred? The pride. The evil people which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart. What is that? Paganism. It's an imagination that you think is right about God. Paganism is an imagination that what you think God is trying to say according to the dictates of your flesh, your feelings, your appetite, and who you are, your sensual pleasure, your lustful sexual pleasure, whatever it may be, it is what I feel, and what I feel is right, and it trumps what God says in his word because I can feel it. That's paganism. That's being a heathen. And then using Christianity as a cover and a banner over me saying that it's okay. Statistics in America are now rising to the point to where more Christians, so-called Christians, and I think that's the most craziest title they put together in this survey, was that Christians believe in premarital sex. The number is rising. In other words, try it before you buy it. Can I have somebody that has a pulse say something to me this morning? It is rising. So-called Christians, no, let's change it. So-called pagans in the church think that you can have sex before marriage and that's okay before God. It's the new trend. It's the new rights to being a Christian, because God, by the way, wants me to be happy. He wants me to be satisfied. He wants all my needs met. And he said, above all things, I wish that I would prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosperous. But honey, if you're a whore and a prostitute, if you are a person who lives in idolatry and fornication, there is no joy for you. There's a sudden death, and there is a place called hell. On the rise in America. It's paganism, the pagan states of America. But your local preachers, some of your preachers won't talk about it. I don't mean just here. I'm talking about internationally and nationally. Just won't talk about it because it's taboo. Listen, if you don't talk about it, they're going to do it. If you would stand up and if we would preach righteousness, I'm talking about with love, if we would preach holiness, if we'd have time to counsel and say, come on, let me talk to you about your issues. I'll help you and I'll show you the way of the Lamb. I'll show you the way of righteousness. I'll show you how you can pray yourself out of these things. If we would just begin to be fathers and mothers in the body of Christ again, we wouldn't have this type of thing going on. Not at the record numbers that it is. The truth of the matter is that what is going on in the behind the pulpit in the pastor's life normally is what's happening in the lives of others within his church. If there's fornication, there'll be fornication out here. If there's cheating, if there's adultery, if there's all kinds of craziness going on, by numbers, it would be off the charts. If it were happening behind the pulpit, it would be in the pews. Why? Because as the head goes, so does the body. It's a spirit. But we don't believe in spirits today. We believe in Casper. We don't believe in the Holy Ghost. We don't believe in being restrained. We believe in just going full throttle and full force, because it's my life, preacher. I'm going to do what I want to do. Well, go ahead. Go ahead and wreck it. Go ahead and ruin it. Go ahead and do what you want to do with your life. But I'm telling you, there is a way of holiness and a way of righteousness if we just teach it. Where am I at? Verse 10. I just want to preach it all over again. They walk after other gods to serve them, to worship them, shall even as this girdle, which is good for nothing. Watch this. Go to verse 15. Hear ye and give ear and be not proud, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God, because he calls darkness. Before he calls darkness, and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountain, and while you look for light, he turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. Who did it? God did it because of the sins of the people. It went from darkness to absolute thick darkness. Are you not seeing the darkness in our nation? We are absolutely watching the craziness in our nation. I want to read a few things to you for those of you who slept upside down in a post hole. Or live in a cave, who do not know what's happening in your world today. And for those of you that think I just get up here and I just preach things because I'm mad and my marriage is horrible and mother-in-law's coming over or something. I'm preaching to you because we're a dying nation. I'm preaching to you this way because I know it's waking up multiple people, multiple thousands of people we're reaching. I know people are responding to it. But it isn't enough until everybody does. We're living in a nation that is falling apart. We're worshiping other gods. We are the pagan states of America. There's a new program coming out on TBS television. It's called Miracle Workers, where it makes fun of God in heaven. I mean, have anybody seen the commercial yet? They come in and they answer the prayers. Apparently, they bring the prayers into this room where there's this dumb God, a guy with long hair, an old hippie, looks like he come from the 70s in a Pinto. And he answers the questions to the prayers as though he'd been smoking some joints. and high and doing drugs. That's your God in America. That is paganism. That is blasphemy in America. But I don't see anybody preaching and standing up against it. I don't see anybody cutting their cable bills and getting rid of the satellite saying, I will no longer sponsor TBS. But that's what's coming down your pike. It's craziness here in this nation. Shootouts taking place almost daily now. As you all saw in the city of Love, Philadelphia, on Wednesday, 6 officers were shot. Just recently in Florida, a man went into a grocery store and began to shoot the place up till they cornered him in the back of the store and shot him like a rabid dog. That has nothing to do with guns. It has everything to do with righteousness. It has everything to do with morality. It has everything to do with somebody preaching truth and warning folks about the consequences of sin. If there is no consequence for my eternal being, then what do I give a rip about shooting and killing somebody else? If there's no consciousness, if there's no reality and no recompense for my award, for my life and for what I do, if there's no penalty, then who cares about who I sleep with? Who cares about fornication? As long as I don't get them pregnant and I don't catch nothing, I should be all right. That is the mindset of many, even in the house of God. And preachers don't preach about it because they're too afraid of folks. Anybody still here? In New York City, the 9th officer of this year has killed himself. Suicide. That's not including Chicago and other major cities that are dealing with suicide by law enforcement. In fact, the United States Air Force has an epidemic of suicides. This year, they've outnumbered, just in the first half of this year, they've outnumbered the total of 2018. And you're going to tell me, and you're going to lie to me, with a straight face and tell me we're fine and that this government, this nation, this whole thing is bringing righteousness to America. You are a liar, sir, and you are a liar, ma'am, and you are deceived, those that follow the Pied Piper. The average U.S. farm is $1.3 million in debt. Listen to what I'm telling you because I've prophesied and told you famine is coming to America. Famine is coming to America. And we're watching it. The average American U.S. farm is $1.3 million in debt. And now we're among the worst farming crisis in U.S. history right now. You better learn how to save. You better learn how to can something. Come on, somebody. Heard from Miss Kathy from Iowa who ate chicken noodle soup from 1999. Is anybody here? Miss Kathy, we love you. We're going to be canning some chicken noodle soup. Some folks throw out cans when it's 2 or 3 months old. Are you here today? You better learn how to save. You better learn how to eat leftovers. Because one day it's not going to be the land of plenty. It's going to be the land of scarce. Why? Because we're paganized. Paganization of a nation looks good at first because it's during the height of prosperity. But the backside is the dark side, and that's where we're going to pay the price. America, we're headed to the backside of paganism, and that's where God begins to deal with a nation. $1.3 million in debt. You know what they're going to do? They're going to do bailouts. Do you know where those bailouts go to? Not to the farmers, not in totality. And if they'd go to the farmers, they go to the richest farms. And the little ones get gobbled up. Do you know what that's called? At the end of the day, study your history. It's called socialism and communism when you allow the government to bail out and take control. That's America. But Americans are so duped with the mantra saying, it'll never happen here. It'll never happen here. Honey, it's been happening since the 50s. Read the Communist Manifesto and some of my messages of the past. Americans are in more debt than ever. Watch this. The middle class death spiral. Consumers have been never deeper in debt and bankruptcies are surging. The experts are now calling them money disorders. Watch this. The average American has $38,000 in debt, a quarter of which comes directly from credit card charges. In December 2008, the consumer debt overall hit a record of $4 trillion. Experts say a significant amount of this debt can be explained by what they call money disorders. This is a hoot. You got to hear this. Just give me 5 more minutes. Money disorders. I love how they put labels on everything. you know, a guy is committing sin, he's committing adultery, fornication, he's knee deep in pornography, and he has a problem with his flesh. No, he has a devil. No, he's possessed by a demon spirit. Experts say the significant amount of this debt can be explained by what they call money disorders. Brad Klontz, the author of Mind Over Money and co-founder of the Financial Psychology Institute. Are you kidding me? We all can make money on names. Says that the money disorder is an umbrella for the terms for reoccurring self-defeating issues that people have with money. According to this guy, money disorders are often the result of underlying psychological issues like anxiety, depression, and trauma. He says that treatment requires that people think about their behaviors and feeling towards money. No, let me help you. The way to cure your money disorders, if you want to call that and run around and say, I got a money disorder. Let me help you. You ready for it? It's very simple. You want to fix your money problems? Tithe. Tithe will fix you. God will fix you by being disciplined and being obedient by giving 10% of your gross sanctified income. When you learn that discipline in life, it will cause your budgets to work out right because you will first give to God and you will recognize and realize that your only provision is in Him. I'm telling you for fact because it did it for me. It fixed me in my money issues when I learned how to tithe. Tithe in the worst time, tithe in the great times. Because when you tithe, you're obeying God, and God will open up the windows of heaven and bless you. Woo-wee. And I'm going to tell you something right now. And as you continue to do that and you give your offerings, God will bless you. You say, is this a message for tithing? No, I'm just trying to help somebody out there. You can find the cure. And the cure is not in some psychologist. The cure is in the Bible. Can you handle just a couple more? Good. San Francisco, fentanyl-related deaths has spiked 150% since last year. It's happening all around us. People are dying. People are committing suicide. People are giving their lives over to the power of the enemy, left and right. I don't have time to give any more this morning, but I sure would like to sit here with you. The paganism that is upon us today is deeply rooted in the house of God. We got to get it out, folks. You say, what does it matter to me, those sitting in this room, those that are watching that are part of Ignited, and you're loving God and you're serving God, you're doing the best you can. You're not an angel. You're not perfect. You're trying to do all that you can. What does that mean to you? What it means to you is to stand up and tell the truth. Tell people the truth. Get these messages to them, not for my popularity, but for the power of the word and the power of conviction. Get to them the truth. Speak to them in love, but be bold about it and say, these are the answers to our issues. Not another campaign, not another Republican, not another Democrat, not an independent. Nobody in political power can save us nor stand as a mediator. Jesus is the mediator, not a politician. And we need to do that today and get paganism out of our lives. You say, how else can I do it? Just shut stuff off in your home. Quit watching certain things. Quit doing certain things. Quit allowing certain things to come across your computer screen, including Facebook and all the other junk that's out there today. And then finally, make your home a holy habitation with God. Find the sanctity of life again. Find life without a television or computer screen. Go out and buy you a box of Uno. Somebody's going to write me and say, you know Uno's of the devil. I know it. Somebody's going to say it, and they'll say that corporation's tied into this corporation. I don't care. Go get marbles and throw them on the ground. Do something as a family and get rid of the computer and get rid of those things momentarily so you can spend time with God. You say, what does that do? That brings you closer to Him. It shows Him that you are desiring more of Him. Spend time in His Word. Those that are watching right now, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today's a day of salvation. No matter how far away you have gone in your sin, and maybe some of the things I've spoken today are you, and that's your life. But Jesus will give you life, life more abundantly. He'll change your life if you just accept Him as Lord and Savior. Those that are backslidden, you've been living in paganism. You didn't really realize it till you heard this message today. Now's the time to make it right. All you have to do is turn to Jesus and say, Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me of all these things. And then Go after him with all of your heart, soul, and mind, and God will bless you beyond your imaginations. Father, thank you for this day, this message. I know it's not easy to hear these messages in this hour, but Father, it is necessary, and I know that many will be changed, and many will turn towards you, and many will recognize where they are, Father, not even knowing the paganism that they've been living in and these things. Father, we love you. Jesus, you are the answer to this nation. And I pray that the body of Christ will prepare for the coming chaos and crisis. And I do again remember, and I do remind folks about the schools. Pray for our young children here in America to be protected. Let the warring, ministering, guardian angels surround these youngins. And in Jesus' name, everybody say amen.